It's a blessing to be here this morning and good to see everyone out. You know, this year, like every 4 years, we have the Summer Olympics that will be taking place. And I believe, if I'm correct, this year they'll be taking place in London, England. I know some people are looking forward to it. Some of you may not have any interest in it at all. But there are going to be thousands of athletes that will compete over, a two-week period now, at different events. That will challenge them physically and to see which one is the best. And if you're an athlete and you want to compete, now is probably a little too late to begin preparing. These men and women have been preparing for years. Some of them since the last Olympics 4 years ago have been preparing and getting themselves ready to compete. So consideration should have been made a few years back so that you could be ready. Now, I don't doubt anyone's athletic ability this morning, but preparation is important if we're going to compete. Today, I want to ask you a question. Have you considered your spiritual life? I mean, if God would require you to stand this morning before Him, are you ready? Are you prepared to stand before God? And of course, to not only those who have not placed their faith in Christ, but I put that question to believers as well. Even though we are saved, we're still going to stand before God someday and stand before our Creator and before our Savior. I don't think we'll stand for judgment, of course, because we've been forgiven. We've been saved from our sins. But we'll stand before God still. We'll meet Him face to face and be able to see Him directly. And today I hope to encourage you to consider your life a little bit so that you can prepare to meet God. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. And the title of this message this morning is Considerations for the Christian. Considerations for the Christian. We're going to look at three considerations this morning that I'd like to give to you. And they're all from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Dear Lord, I thank You for this day that You've given to us. Thank You for the blessings You have provided. I thank You for those that have come out this morning to hear Your Word. I pray that You bless us from Your Word. Help us to set aside our thoughts for a few minutes that may be in our minds from the things of this world, and help us to focus on Your Word and just guide and direct this message. And I pray today that, Holy Spirit, You'll work in our hearts. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you three considerations this morning for the Christian concerning our life today and our life before God. The first consideration is I want you to consider the spectators. Verse 1 begins, "Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, that word cloud also means many. Many witnesses is what it's talking about. Many people who are watching. Many people who are looking. You know, today, I think probably more than any other time in the history of our country, people watch sporting events, I guess you'd say, in mass. I mean, not only there, but on television. I mean, literally thousands of people will watch a sporting event, whether it's baseball or football or golf, whatever your interest is. You have thousands of people watching an event. Then you have some events where it's literally millions, like the Super Bowl or like the Olympics coming up. People will watch and they'll be spectators to this. Now, this verse here, I believe we need to make sure we're taking it in context so that way we don't run off and go chase something and come down with some teaching that's not there. What I mean by that, I believe this verse refers to those that are mentioned in the previous chapter. That's Hebrews chapter 11. Now, we're not going to take the time to read through that, but this morning I'm going to refer to the people in that chapter quite a bit. But Hebrews chapter 11 is commonly referred to as the Heroes of Faith chapter because of the great deeds that were done by faith in the Old Testament that are recalled here in Hebrews chapter 11. And so I believe that that's what verse 1 is referring to. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." He's talking about those that have come before us. Now, this morning, there are some who will take this verse and say, "Well, we have all these people watching over us and keeping an eye on us." I want to be careful with that because I don't find anywhere else in Scripture about our abilities to see what's going on earth from heaven. And so I don't want to run with that and say, "Well, those people are watching everything we do." Perhaps this was just referring to the fact or using the illustration of a race. Back then they had the Olympics, and perhaps he was drawing upon the fact that there are spectators, those who cheer on, those who watch, those who encourage, and that's what he's referring to. But here's my thought here this morning on this, is those men and women lived and died by faith. Today, I believe they're in the presence of God, but they lived and died by faith. Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the list goes on and on and on. And the Bible tells us that they had looked for the promise, and because they looked for that promise, they lived by faith. Now, what promise is that? Now, that's not the promise of the second coming. That's what we're looking forward to. We know the Bible has said that Christ will return. But they were looking for His first coming, His presence, being born. Now, they didn't have all the details, of course, but God had given them the promise that the Messiah was coming. And so they were looking for that. You know, if we're not careful, we go back to Hebrews chapter 11, we can place more focus on the people and on their deeds instead of their faith in God. And that's what I want you to notice this morning, and I believe that that's where we can find the lessons. The focus is on their faith in God, who they place their faith in. And that's why they were able to overcome all those obstacles and troubles and those difficulties. You see, as we live today, their lives of faith should be considered. We should think on their lives a little bit. We should consider how they lived and what they went through and how God blessed them. Now, you begin with Abel. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, and it starts off there, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. You see, that's where it begins. It begins with Abel. I always find it interesting, it didn't begin with Adam as far as the chapter of faith. It began with his son Abel. And the Bible tells us that Abel had faith that was accepted. You see, that's where it begins, faith that is accepted. You see, faith. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved, and through faith. You see, faith is the channel by which we are saved. Now, we're saved by God's grace. But our faith is the channel by how we're saved. What I mean by that is we place our faith in God. We place our faith in Jesus Christ, and we are saved by grace and through faith. You know, faith is simply trusting or believing. This morning, you're sitting on those pews. You have faith that those pews are sturdy, that they're going to stay there. See, that's faith. You're placing your faith in those pews. Now, I know that's a crude illustration, but that's what faith is. You see, this morning, if you're saved, you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, and you have trusted in Christ as your Savior. So we see that faith is where it begins. Abel had faith that was accepted. Enoch had faith that pleased God. Noah had faith that conquered. The Bible says, and condemned the world. He lived in a world of sin, unrighteousness, violence, and filth. He had faith in God. Bible tells us that Abraham had faith to follow. And he also had faith that staggered not when he was tested. How many of you have been tested and you struggled with your faith? You see, he had faith that staggered not, the Bible tells us. In other words, God directed, he followed even though he was struggling with the belief side of what was going to happen, how things were going to play out. His faith did not stagger. And then we come to Sarah. Bible says that she had faith that overcame doubts. Oh, she struggled. We know the story of Sarah struggling with God's Word, but she had faith that overcame doubts. And then Isaac had faith in a great future. Jacob had faith for his entire life. And even up to the end, he had faith in God's Word. We know Joseph had faith when he was tried. 13 years in a prison and in slavery would do that to you. That's being tested. And he had faith while tested. Moses had faith when he knew suffering was certain. Now that's tough. Think about Moses. The Bible tells us, let's go back, Hebrews 11. It says there in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He had faith, even though he knew suffering was going to be the result. Now, that's difficult. It's the other way around. We want faith to help us through our sufferings so we can get out of our troubles and difficulties and move on. Moses displayed faith even though he knew the suffering was going to come. He had faith in God because he loved God more than as the Bible says, the pleasures of sin for a season or the pleasures of this world. And then we get Joshua, faith in God's power, faith in God's strength. David, faith in overcoming trials or difficulties, I guess you say, faith in overcoming great obstacles. All of this was because they dared to believe God's Word. That was it. And see, that's what we're to consider this morning. They lived by faith because they believed in God. They believed in the promise that a Messiah was coming, so they placed their faith in God. They trusted in God. And when the difficulties came and the trials came, they were able to live for God and continue by faith. You see, these men and women did great deeds by faith. And I want to bring to your attention this morning, they did it with limited knowledge compared to what we have today. How many of you ever heard someone talk about the old days? You know, walking to school in snow, uphill both ways. I think my children think I'm getting that way now. But talk about the old days. You know, sometimes that's just fun. But you know, sometimes there's some truth to things like that. I'll give you one illustration. I was reading just a few weeks back, a sports scientist was talking about athletes today compared to athletes a generation ago. And he said, with weight rooms, nutritionists, personal trainers, and advanced equipment, he said, every record in the sporting world should be broken. Things have changed compared to what it was years back. And what I want you to notice this morning is they had faith in God with limited knowledge. All they had was the types and the shadows. You see, Christ had not come and died on the cross yet. They believed He would, though. And all they had was the picture with the law and all that was in the scriptures. They had the shadow, so to speak, that Christ was coming, and their knowledge was limited. What they had was correct. I want you to know that. They had correct knowledge. But they didn't have the entire Word of God like we possess today. Yet they were able to live by faith. Now you think of what we have this morning. We'll begin right here. We possess the Word of God. They didn't have the Gospels. They didn't have the epistles. They didn't have the revelation talking about the end time and how God was going to wrap things up. I tell you this morning, I'm so encouraged when I read the revelation. I think, you know what, God's not only got a plan for this world, but He's also going to set things right. Not only with the devil, but also with those that choose to go against Him. He's going to set things right someday. They didn't have that. As far as I believe, they probably knew God would take care of things, but they didn't have it in writing like we have today. You see, God has blessed us with the Word of God. And so, because of that, we have God's Word to direct us, to encourage us. You know what we also have? We have proof, or I guess you say the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Proof of His life, His death, and His resurrection. That's what they were looking towards. Now this morning, we look back. This morning, we thank God because He's already been here. He's went to the cross. He's provided the atonement. He has laid down His life for sin, and this morning we can be saved because of that sacrifice. And then He arose from the grave 3 days later to have victory over death and over sin. And so we know that Christ is alive this morning. And also, you know what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us in John that Jesus said He'd send the Comforter. Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, came down. And this morning, if you're saved, according to 1 Corinthians 6, the Bible says the Holy Spirit dwells within you. You see, we have the Spirit dwelling with us. God's presence. And so we can live for God. We have power to do what's right and to do what would please God. And then the fourth thought I have too is we have Jesus Christ as our advocate. Basically our lawyer in heaven. Our mediator. Today, you can pray to God right where you are. You don't have to wait a certain time of year to go to the temple and to make a sacrifice and go before God. You can go to God right where you are anytime, day or night. God will hear your prayer. God will answer your prayer. And that's because of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice, the atonement has been made. You see, He is the high priest now. We don't have to go to a high priest to get to God the Father because Jesus Christ is our high priest. And so we can go to God, like it says in Hebrews, boldly go to the throne room of grace. And so those are all the benefits that we have here this morning. And I think what we have in this passage, verse 1, basically begins, it's a challenge to believers. And hey, guess what? You can live by faith. You can continue during the difficulties and the trials. Look at those people in the Old Testament who had limited knowledge. Yet they placed their faith in God, and because of faith they were able to overcome giants. They were able to do great things for God because they put their faith in God and trusted in Him. And we serve that same God. You know, this is basically a picture of a race. And those that ran before are cheering us on, encouraging us, challenging us to live by faith, to walk with God, and to continue without quitting. So this morning, I want to encourage you to consider those that came before and their lives of faith, and how about we live a life of faith as well. Secondly, let's go back to our passage. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Secondly, I want you to consider the hindrances to faith. The Bible tells us there that we should lay aside every weight, or set aside, I guess, the weights and the sin that so easily besets us. You know that the common usage for that word weight was a weight or a burden. It was also used to describe a burden, something heavy that someone had to carry. You know, runners in a race, no matter if it's a long-distance race or a sprint, runners remove everything that may hinder them. Now, they may train with weights, but when it's race time, everything that would hinder them is set aside. Some go to the extreme in what they wear, or maybe I should say in what they don't wear when they race. They wear as little as possible, shave their heads, do everything they can to get an advantage in the race and have no hindrances, whether it's a sprinting race or it's in the water and they're swimming. Whatever it may be, they're going to take advantage of everything they can to win that race. You know, as a believer, distractions must be set aside. And I believe that's what it's referring to, because he differentiates between this and between sin. He says, lay aside every weight. And then he says, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. I believe that we need to set aside distractions that may hinder our faith. Now this morning, for each of you, that's different. There may be some things in your life that is not a distraction at all, but to someone else, that it would be a distraction, hinder their faith, and they'd struggle with. So it's not talking about sin. I believe it's referring to things that just may get in the way of our faith. You know, if we're not careful, our faith, first off, can be hindered by the love of this world. You know, we're warned in 1 John to not love the things of this world. You know, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Because those things are not of God. And if we're not careful, you know, we can grow too fond of things of this world. We can grow too fond of the materials or the items or the money that this world has to offer. Now, of course, we live in this world. We make a living. We have a career. We have houses and other things. But let's not fall in love with those things and let them become a hindrance to our faith, preventing us from serving God or walking with God. You know, it can happen with our career. You know, there are some men and women that are just so wrapped up in their career, they have no time for God. No time to read their Bible, to pray, no time to seek after God, because they're just so wrapped up in their future. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a career or being ambitious, as long as it doesn't hinder our faith and prevent us from serving God. You see, it's referring to things that are not necessarily bad in and of themselves, but if they're not put in perspective, they can hinder faith. You know, if we're not careful, our faith can be placed in our skills and our abilities, what we can do instead of what God can do through us. And so I want to just encourage you this morning to keep in mind, we should allow God to work through us and to bless us in our life. You see, these become burdens if we're not careful, and they can hinder our faith. So what believers need to do is just set aside all that may hinder their faith. And like I said, that may be different for each one of you. But what I want to encourage you to do this morning and even afterwards, just examine your life and ask God to, if there's something in your life that is a hindrance, that He would make it clear that it's something that you just need to either remove or just maybe cut back on and say, you know, there's nothing bad in it, but it's preventing me from living by faith, or it's keeping me from doing the things that I know I need to do. And so I want to encourage you just to examine your heart. Now we come to sin. That's talking about distractions. Now sin is destructive. And he says there, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. We need to set aside sin is what we need to do. And that's because sin is destructive. Now you think about sin for a minute. Sin can be attractive and appealing. Now the world is always going to make sin seem to be fun or enjoyable. And sin so can be appealing and attractive. But the other side of sin is sin can also be addictive and controlling. When you get involved in a sin, it may start because of the appeal. 5 years down the road, it's an addiction and you're stuck. And so we need to be careful, because sin is addictive. And it controls your life. Also, we need to be careful of sin before salvation. What I mean by that is, you know, once you're saved, you're forgiven. But sometimes there may have been some sins. For some people, if you were saved later in life at an older age, there may have been some sin in your life that was controlling and that you're involved with. And now that you're saved, you know better. You know the direction you need to go. But you know what? There's going to be that temptation there. And that may be a weakness the rest of your life that you'll have to battle with. You know, what we need to do is just understand that. Beware of that. And set it aside. Let it go and move on. You see, sin is destructive because it's rebellion against God. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. I think it's good for us to see that here. 1 John chapter 3. And notice what it says in verse 4. He says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law." You see, sin is when we break God's law, basically, is what the Bible teaches. Whoever commits sin, and there's no degrees of sin. When we break God's law in any way, it's sin against God. And we rebelled against God. And so sin is destructive because we're going against God. Now the sin of unbelief, even after you're saved, if you have doubts. Remember, Sarah struggled with that. By faith, she overcame it. But the sin of unbelief will prevent any believer from living by faith. It doesn't matter if you've been saved for 1 year or 20 or 30 years. If you begin to doubt and have God's abilities, I think my mic warning. But if you begin to doubt and have doubts in God's abilities, then what will happen is you'll be discouraged because of sin, the sin of doubt. Now, sin also grieves, the Bible tells us, and quenches the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and we're told not to quench it or to grieve the Spirit, because when that occurs, the Spirit's not going to leave you. He's not going to cut out on you. But what happens when we grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit? It's because of our actions, perhaps, or our thoughts, our words, whatever it may be. Our flesh takes over. Our flesh begins to go in control. And we begin to do what we want to do instead of allowing the Spirit to lead our life. I guess you say pride or fleshly ambition may lead instead of the Spirit leading our life. So it's best to allow God to lead our life and beware of sin. Now, as far as addictive sins, now some sins are more addictive than others, of course, but addictive sins will hinder any believer's service to God, because the believer will continue to struggle in that sin, and they'll become discouraged. And if they're not careful, it'll be a cycle. They break it for a little bit to get caught up in it again, and it just becomes a cycle of discouragement. You see, sin needs to be set aside, is what the Bible teaches, so that we might live by faith. Now, 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You know, when it comes to sin and separation, I think sometimes we make it harder than what it really is. I mean, we got all these books written about sin and separation. Now, there's nothing wrong. I imagine some of those books are good. Some you need to be careful of, but some are good. But you see, I think God has already told us what we need to do. I tell you, if you find sin in your life, you need to fall down on your knees. Get somewhere and get right with God. Seek His forgiveness. Confess of those sins. The Bible tells us that He's faithful and He's just. I tell you, if you go to God from your heart as a believer, if you get stumbled, you get caught up in a sin, go to God with that. Seek His forgiveness. He'll cleanse you and He'll bless you again. Begin working through you and begin blessing your life. But what needs to happen is sin needs to be set aside so we can live by faith, so we can live a life that's pleasing unto God. You know, you think about a fire. We teach our children, you know, be careful. If the oven's hot, don't touch it. If there's a fire, leave it alone. You know, really, it doesn't take long for our children to pick up the understanding that a fire hurts. You know, even if they don't get all the way in there, they get close enough, it's hot. And after a while, as we grow older, today I think most of you, the adults here, understand that, hey, it's dangerous. You don't just go stand in the middle of a fire. Now, I'm going to give you a thought on this. We learn this, and then what do? We stay away. I don't know about you, but when I see a campfire, I don't have to get on my knees and make a big decision. I don't have to say, "God, you sure you don't want me to go stand in the middle of this fire? Can I get close?" I understand that it'll hurt me. I stay away. It really no decision at all. I just walk around it. I just stay away from that which would bother me. Now, I think the same goes for sin. We simply need just to separate from it. Oh, I know that addictions, and I know that there are some difficulties, there's always going to be temptations. But we need to, first off, stay away from the places that are filled with temptation. I tell you what, you go stand in the middle of a fire, you're going to be burned. There are some places that you know of this morning, I don't need to name them, but you go there, you're going to be tempted and probably overcome with that sin that's there, especially some people who are struggling with that sin. So you need to stay away from those places. We need to stay, sometimes we just need to step away. How about people that are talking filthy or gossiping? You don't need to bring a message to them. Sometimes you just need to step away for yourself. Just say, "Hey, I just need to get away from this." So I don't get involved, I don't get caught up, and I don't get discouraged. You see, sin is just a matter of separating ourselves from it. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to consider what may hinder your faith, if anything at all. And you know, sometimes we need to do this on a regular basis because we can all stumble into sin. We can all allow hindrances into our life. So it's good just to take a few minutes and say, Lord, is there anything that I just need to set aside? Have I gotten into something that I just don't see? Please show me so I can get it right with you. And then if He does, then get it settled. Confess. Or if it's just a hindrance, then just, I guess you say, make a decision to if not remove it, at least to keep it from hindering your life for God. And I believe that the Lord will bless you. Finally, if we go back to Hebrews chapter 12, we look at our third consideration. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. He says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I want to encourage you this morning to consider the course. Consider the course. Here he says it's the race that is set before us. But let's consider the course that we have before us. Those who enjoy golf, I enjoy getting out. I don't enjoy my score at the end of the round, but I enjoy getting out and swinging a club. Professional golfers, when they play a course, especially if it's one of the four majors, from my understanding, I've read articles, well, they'll get out there and play it, you know, that week ahead of time. They'll go play several times, some of them. They'll take notes. They'll write down all these things in their notebook. Sometimes they'll even ask former golfers who've played there any tips, any ideas. Basically, they make sure that they consider their course that they're going to play. They want to compete and do the best they can. This morning, I want you to consider your course as far as your spiritual life before God. The Bible tells us first we need to run with patience. Have you ever ran too fast, too soon? Physically, have you ever just taken off, thought you're going to maybe run a mile, and next thing you know, halfway through, you're panting for air, and think, well, I should have slowed down. I chose the wrong pace. I should have slowed down and went a little bit slower. You know, it also happens just life in general. Have you ever started a project that you were going to knock out in one weekend? Maybe 2 months later, that project's still there. You're going to get it done, though, but you just too much too soon. That can happen if we're not careful. You see, as a Christian, if we're not careful, we can get burned out. We really can. Now, that's not to say, you know, we shouldn't do anything for God, but if we're not careful, we can just get so discouraged because we think we have to do everything as fast as we can right now. You know, the Bible teaches that we should pace ourselves. Run with patience. In other words, serve God with patience. How about we go at a steady pace so that we continue when we're discouraged? We just continue on, keep going, even when times get difficult. Or if we think we failed or made mistakes, confess our sins, get right with God, and keep going. I read where Michael Jordan, arguably the greatest basketball player that ever played, he said this once. He said, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. He says, 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. He said, I failed over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. You think about that. Sometimes as Christians, we fail one time, and we're ready to quit. You know, we witness one time, and someone says, no, I'm not interested in knowing about God. We get discouraged, and we don't witness again. You see, let's not get discouraged by what we may see as a setback, or maybe something that may take place that we see, oh, I don't know if that worked out the way I wanted it. But let's continue on. Run with patience. Be faithful. And continue on with the Lord. I think we just need to run the race with some contentment. In other words, with understanding that God will direct our life. And when He does direct our life, we just need to continue without complaining or griping or bickering. But content with the direction God has given to us. And content concerning when, where, and how He directs our life. Just content with God, running with patience. Also, we need to run the race that's set before us. That's what it tells us there. Run the race that is set before us. Now, remember, this verse refers to the previous chapter. All those men and women that lived by faith, from Abel to Enoch to Moses, all of them that lived by faith and walked with God. You know, some people teach that we all have a certain course that we have to go down and we must find God's exact will for our life every moment. You know, I think that's dangerous because too much, I think, time is spent on trying to find God's will in every little detail instead of simply living by faith with God. Now, let me explain this. I think the course he's referring to here that is set before us is the course that others have ran. In other words, the life of faith. Now, you think about a marathon this morning or even a sprint. They get ready to run their race. They're all going down that same track. And I've never ran a marathon. Maybe some here have. But what is it, 26.2 miles, I believe? When you run that marathon, you don't get to choose where you go. You don't look and say, okay, I'm going to go this way, I'm going to go here. There's a course set before you, and you must go on that course. And it's already mapped out, and you have the directions. Same thing with a sprint. You know, when you watch the Olympics coming up here this summer, all those races are going to have a course set before them. And those men and women that get out and begin that race and run that race, no matter if it's a long distance race or a short sprint, 100 meters, whatever it may be, they're all running that course. Now, how they run it is up to them. They all have maybe different strategies and plans on going down that course to finish the race. But that course is the same. So I believe that our verse is referring to the life of faith this morning. That course is set before us. You know, you're saved here, you've trusted in Christ, and now you have a race that's set before you. And it's marked out with direction, of course, from God's Word. God didn't leave us without direction, without any help. He said, here it is. Read it. Study it. Get to know it, because here's your direction for the race that you're in. So it's marked down by God's Word, and it's been ran by those that have come before us. They finished their course. They have ran, the race. They have lived their life and did great deeds by faith. And this morning, if you're saved here, it's your turn to run the race. You know, I often think of sports. You know, when you have a young rookie or new player, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, golf, waiting to get in, to get their chance. They're excited. You know, in baseball, you think of a young player getting called up from the minor leagues to the major leagues. They're excited. They get to go to the major leagues, and if they get an opportunity to get in the game, they're going to make the best of it, or at least attempt to. They want to stay there and make an impression, because it's their turn. It's their time to go out and to perform. You think about this morning. Abel, David, Joseph, Moses, the list goes on and on. All of those men and women that are mentioned in that chapter, where are they? They're with God. They're not here. They have ran the race. It is our turn this morning, loved ones. It's your turn to run the race. It's your turn to be faithful to God. It's your turn to live by faith. It's your turn to make an impression on this world for God, to let God work through you and around you, and to live for the Lord. You see, really, when you think about it, we are now in the race. And any young athlete who gets their opportunity will say they're going to take advantage of it. They're going to do everything they can to do their best. So this morning, let's apply that same principle to our life. Let's do all we can to live for God and to live by faith. You see, we're to live a life of faith no matter what obstacles are placed in our path. I think of all those men and women. They didn't plan on their obstacles. Those were obstacles that came, and they continued through those obstacles. We're to live a life of faith, trusting in God to work all things out for good. And according to Romans 8:28, He will work all things out to good. So we put our faith in God, and we trust in Him. You know, this morning, in closing, we have looked at three considerations for the Christian. Consider the spectators, those that have went before. Consider the hindrances, those things we need to set aside that may hinder our faith, and then consider the course. So we run with patience, and it's our turn. We were active and we serve God. To continue or to run this race, you must first be involved. You think of faith. It begins with salvation. Looking out this morning, I hope and pray everyone here is saved. I hope you have trusted in Christ as your Savior. But that's where it begins. If you have not placed your faith in Christ, Bible says you're not saved. You're not part of this race. You're down here on earth, but you're not part of the race to live for God and live by faith, because you need to get your life settled. You need to get your sins forgiven and get things right with God first. And then once you're saved, you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, the Bible teaches then the Holy Spirit will dwell within you. You have now power to live for God and to walk with God. And if you're here this morning and that's where you are, you're saved, you've trusted in Christ, I want to encourage you to consider the spectators, the hindrances in the course, and to live by faith, and to live for God. Dear Lord, we come to You at this time. Thank You for the blessings You provided. I thank You for those that have come out this morning. And I pray, as we have this time of invitation, if You have worked in anyone's heart here this morning in any way, I pray today with the day that they'll just get some things settled with You and place their faith in You. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a few minutes this morning, as piano is going to begin to play here in a minute. This is just a time of invitation. It's not a time of pressure. We don't come and ask you to make decisions. The decisions you make are between you and God. And if God has worked in your heart in any way at all this morning, if the Holy Spirit has worked in your heart in any way, I encourage you to make those decisions with God, whether it's confession, seeking forgiveness, or maybe commitment this morning. Maybe there's some areas that you just need to recommit to God and need to get settled with the Lord. Whatever it may be, if God has worked in your heart, I encourage you at this time to get some things settled with Him. Perhaps there's someone here that has realized or come under the understanding that they're not saved. They're without Christ. If that's the case, I want to encourage you to trust in Christ for salvation today. If you have questions, concerning salvation, you can come down this morning and someone can go aside with you and show you from the Word of God how you can know that you're saved. But if you already know what you need to do, you know that you need to seek God's forgiveness. The Bible tells us to repent and trust in Christ. If you need to do that, I encourage you to get that settled with God this morning.